Welcome aboard this week's podcast of Dudes Dish Disney. Get ready for amazing attractions across America. Beer halls and bar rooms, banquets and beverages, a collection of characters and colleagues.
No cupcakes.
It's Dudes Dishing Disney. This episode of Dudes Dish Disney is sponsored by Magic Vacations. Magic Vacations. Discover the magic of travel. And now your hosts, the dudes of Dudes Dish Disney.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome to this week's episode of Dudes Dish Disney. Guess who's here? Jonathan, our resident tech dude.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I'm still here. Unfortunately, we haven't got rid of Congo yet, but give us some time.
Ouch.
Right. No doubt our co-host Ryan, he's right here too.
I was also trying to throw Congo overboard, but apparently that didn't happen, right? So he's still here, folks. Give it up for Congo!
You know, and that's okay because you can get down on me because I'm feeling kind of grand this week. I'm feeling kind of elegant. I'm feeling kind of pinkies up because on this week's episode of Dude's Dish Destination, we're our final installment of the deluxe resorts. We're going to talk about the Grand Floridian Resort and Spa.
It's so fancy. We getting fancified over here.
Yeah, this is not the dude's typical hotel, that's for sure.
This is, yeah, we talk about a lot of dude-friendly hotels, and this can be one if you do it right, but this can also be not necessarily for the common dude as well.
No, it would be more for the dude who's going to bring the Lincoln around front as we pick up the rest of the party.
Cheerio. Bring it on up, will you?
Hey, look, let me give you a little history of this place because it is an interesting perspective on how this all came about. Right from 1971, if you look at the plots of the land around Seven Seas Lagoon, there were plans for multiple hotels. Now, day one, they opened up the Polynesian and the Contemporary. But there was also plans for a Persian hotel, a Mediterranean hotel, and an Asian hotel. In fact, the square block of land for the Asian hotel was set and ready to go. That was going to be the first one they were going to build. And that is the location of today's Grand Floridian Resort. I remember working there, the road between the golf courses, right? And the Disney Golf Resort, home of the two or nicer courses there. There was a street called Asian Way for years, and it was still named that right up until 1988 when the Grand Floridian was opened as originally the Grand Floridian Beach Club. And it was, you know, themed very interestingly to the Victorian area resorts like the Flagler Resorts and the Railroad Barons who were building up down the Florida coast to kind of emulate that feel and look. Now, interestingly enough, the resort itself was really modeled off of some very, very famous resorts. One here in New England, Jonathan, it was the Mount Washington Hotel in Bretton Woods was one of the designs. And I've stayed there. It's very nice. Another one that was modeled off of was the Hotel del Coronado very famously in San Diego, the Coronado Beach. I've actually stayed there on a business trip, too. And that's strikingly similar to the architecture here when you see it. But as far as Floridian hotels, the other one that really it was modeled off of was the Bellevue or Biltmore Hotel, which was down in Bel Air, Florida. So some real classic old hotels or properties. And if you look at those designs and you look at the Grand Floridian, there's no question that the architectural firm that was retained to kind of build that had that in mind. Again, originally was going to be home of the Asian property. And the thoughts too, when you built those hotels around Seven Seas Lagoon, the Contemporary Hotel was the backdrop for Tomorrowland. And the Polynesian was the backdrop for Adventureland, the Asian too was going to be over there as a backdrop for Adventureland. It was actually going to be based on a Thailand architecture. But when they decided to go to the Grand Floridian, they had plans of it in the 80s. I remember being there at the 15th year anniversary celebration, and they were building it. And it was massive to go across the lake, Seven Seas Lagoon, take the ferry across and look over where there was nothing and see how huge a property is. It is a huge, sprawling property, one of the largest deluxe with over 867 rooms and suites. And that doesn't include the DVC section. But very magnificent, and it quickly got escalated into, you know, AAA ratings as one of the nicer hotels in Florida when it opened up, and it always had that mystique. You can argue about whether it's in that category now today. I don't think it's got quite the AAA ratings it used to. Certainly some of the restaurants do, but it was really kind of an interesting place that built. They had them planned for it, but when Eisner got in, he accelerated that plan, and he brought in some outside architectures firms that were working on it and said, no, we want to take it in this direction. And so that feel, that grandiose feel, when is really first experienced when you go into the hotel's lobby. I know you guys, we've all been in the lobby, right? And that's the impressive thing there.
Yeah, the lobby makes me feel unwelcome. I mean, like, I walk in and I'm like, this doesn't feel like me in my Under Armour shorts and t-shirt right now, right? Like, it doesn't, but it's stunning. It's beautiful. It really is. The marble floors and are very Disney too. You know, the marble floors have little etchings of the different Disney characters in them, and gold trim, and you know, everything's white. You know, it just, like, it's just screams elegance when you walk into it. And you know, Southern elegance at that. You know, they did a really good job with that, because it's Southern elegance. And I have not stayed there yet. I have walked through it 100,000 times, but I have not stayed there yet, and I'm scared to.
I know, John, you stayed there, right?
Many years ago when I was very young. That was the last time I was there. That's probably now, God, over 20. Yeah, I would say over 20 years ago. But I was very young the last time I'd stayed there.
So
I was young the last time you stayed there too.
So, yeah, no, I stayed there twice. Once when I brought the future Mrs. Moore there, which was that weekend I actually proposed to her, we stayed there. And once before that, I stayed there as well. So in the lobby is so that you've got these huge, you've got a grand piano there, and usually there's someone at around check-in time playing on it, and it just fills that whole atrium and lobby with music. You've got an old-fashioned sort of birdcage elevator that, you know, takes you up and down through the main lobby. Is certainly a centerpiece. Two huge chandeliers. The chandeliers were designed to look like pineapples, which in the Victorian era, if you had a pineapple, they were worth, like, in today's money, like $1,000, because you flew it over from Hawaii and you'd put it on display before you ate it to show all your friends how wealthy you were. So they designed these pineapple chandeliers in this Victorian setting to kind of emulate that and sort of set the posture for elegance. But the staircases, walking around, you know, what's unique about this place is on the second lobby where the birdcage elevator goes, or you can take stairs up to, is the landing for the monorail. And there's a series of lounges and shops and venues there on that second floor besides the lobby floor. So there's, for this deluxe resort, I think there's more restaurants there than any other deluxe resort. There are more shops there for merchandise than any other resort. And there's more of a variety there. And there's certainly one of the top quantity of lounges there if you add them all up. So it's designed to handle the capacity of those 867 rooms. And that doesn't mention the presidential suites, vice presidential suites, which are named after, you know, the Disney family, which are really impressive too. So the rooms themselves, the story is when Eisner wanted them to build this, the architects who did this were so excited about the project that laid out in their design studio, they actually built up mock rooms right down to the square footage with all the, they went out and found all the furniture to look Victorian and everything in them. And so Eisner and his people walked in and were blown away. And like, they're like, yes, this is it. You have the job. This is what we're going to build. And what's interesting about those rooms is they're the largest square footage of any of the Disney Deluxe hotels. So you want a little elbow room, you're going to get it there in the Grand Floridian. If you get the traditional two queen beds, you're still going to have more face, many magnificent views on balconies. You can imagine looking over at Cinderella's castle across the way at the Contemporary or the Polynesian. So they've really done a great job in these rooms, and they're in the process of updating and renovating them, and but still in good taste. They're not, you know, they're not converting them into kids suites. They're just kind of updating and refreshing the original theme there. The rooms are very spectacular, and because it's centralized in one of the wings, it's probably one of the best deluxe hotels that does room service compared to anyone else. And it's known for the staff and the service there because of that little extra. It's the Disney touch, a little plus down there. So you really do feel like you're getting kind of that VIP treatment at the Grand Floridian. What is it that you've noticed walking around the grounds, everything as far as theming and what it's kind of attracting in clientele?
I mean, the biggest thing is we kind of already touched on it, just kind of based on our takes on the resort. I mean, it's elegance. It really is elegance. It's classy. I mean, everything is high end. Everything is stunning. The views, everything you see, it's meant to make you feel like you're in a higher tier, a classier place than maybe some of the other resorts. You definitely feel like you're not, I wouldn't say you really, really feel like you're at Disney when you're in the heart of this hotel. I mean, let's be honest, this resort has the Disney charm, but there's definitely times where you don't feel like you're really at Disney with this resort.
I think one of the main things about this resort is you don't typically find your go park goers staying here. And it's not because they don't want to go to the parks, but it's more because the people that are at this park value being able to come back to their resort in the middle of the day, use the pool, eat at the fine dining restaurants, enjoy the facilities. I've had clients that have literally told me that they wanted to come stay here just so that they could go sit and have a drink and listen to the piano play in the middle of the day, you know. And it is more of an experience in the resort than it is an experience in the four theme parks. You also have the wedding pavilion is here, right? So one of the main wedding pavilions is here. So you also have that element to it as well, that you have guests that are coming here for a highly extravagant wedding, or, you know, long weekend or something along those lines too. So it's, in terms of, I always say it's kind of more of a country club kind of feel, right? It's, the pace is slowed down a little bit. It's a little bit more about relaxing and enjoying their time on the resort than it is about jumping out and getting sweaty in the Florida sun.
Yeah, that's a good way to describe it too, is that country club feel. I think of all the properties, everyone does a good job with club level concierge. It just feels right at the Grand Floridian, right?
Yeah.
You know, they still have daily dry cleaning services, you know, there. So some of the stuff you'd like expect to be at maybe like a Waldorf or a Ritz. They do have the small convention center. They do the weddings. They've always had consistent housekeeping services. Like any deluxe, they've got multiple transportation. So you've got the monorail, You've got boats to the Magic Kingdom and different resorts. You've got the bus transportation. You've got minivans, and you got a walking path to the Magic Kingdom. The clientele I see, I put there, Ryan, a lot of grandparents who are sponsoring a multi-general vacation, or grandparents who are just taking the grandkids and the parents aren't coming. So, and they're younger, so they're focused in on the Magic Kingdom, probably, if they're there for a short stay, you know, and they do, they're constantly coming back to the pool or having a nice dinner or relaxing. You know, the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique is there. So they're lavishing their grandchildren with the little extras, in addition to going to the Magic Kingdom 2 or 3 days in a row.
And I think it fits, right? Because, you know, you talk about Disney when it was opened in the 70s, and that's what Disney was, right? It wasn't what it is now, where you're constantly on the go. It was, you have a theme park, you've got a nice resort, you spend some time in the park, you spend some time in the resort, right? So, you know, I think that makes sense why you've got it that way. Plus, who's kidding who? I barely want to drag my own children around, much less if I was a grandparent, right? Like, I want someday I want my grandkids to have that experience, and I want to experience it with them. But I highly doubt that I'm going to be wanting to do four parks in a day and that stuff when I'm a grandparent. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, that definitely makes sense. But the other thing too here is there's a fantastic pool. I think it's one of the most underrated pools, because not a lot of people think about it as a pool resort. But in my opinion, this is probably a top three pool on Disney World property, which again goes back to what you were saying, Carl, that it's that great multi-generational place where the grandparents can go have a drink by the pool and the kids can go splash around and have a good time.
Right. So it's interesting. So the hotel originally opened, and it was the Grand Floridian Beach Resort, and they had a lot of the white sand there. When they expanded, you know, the Wedding Pavilion, the Convention Center, and then later DVC, they gave up a lot of that beachfront. And of course, you know, originally you could go into the waters. I have pictures swimming off of there. They don't allow that anymore. And so it was natural when they took away the beach to went to the Grand Floridian Spa and Resort. They put in a full service spa there. We've talked about, you know, places to have spa services or get your haircut. That's there. And when they did that, at the same time, they renovated the original pool and put this fantastic pool in. It, you know, it's that zero depth entry. It's got the waterfalls. It is lower key than a lot of them, right? But it is expansive enough. You know, it's got a good slide. It's got a great pool bar. There's also a smaller, pool, more of like a quiet pool, as well. So that does spread out the crowd a little bit, which is important to kind of have that feel that you are, you know, you don't think you're at a expensive pampered resort when there's, you know, everybody jump in the pool, like the scene from Caddyshack, right? So this is not that. This is a country club luxurious pool with all the activities. We've talked, Jonathan, before about you know, all the things to do at the deluxe resorts, and I know as far as activities and recreation, there's a lot here. Maybe you want to chat a little bit about what's offered at the Grand Floridian as far as recreation and activities.
Yeah, again, like Carl's mentioned, this is a resort that's got everything. I mean, we mentioned the pools, it's got the usual stuff, movies, all kinds of activities for the kids around the pools, all that fun stuff there. We mentioned the spa. I mean, if you want the spa, this is one of the ones you want to go to. One of the things that we really like is you can rent your poolside cabana here. Put up your feet, relax, let the kids do whatever the heck they want, and you just sit back, get your drink, and just chill. The other thing too is, again, this being one right on the lagoon here, we've got the boat rentals. Whatever type of motorboat you want, I mean, you can get that. Feel free to just enjoy that and relax and enjoy that. Again, and you can go fishing off of here as well. And the cool one is you can see Carlsfjord, the electrical water pageant, right on the shores of the resort here. That's one of the big ones that is a major draw for this one. It's got some of probably the best viewing you can definitely get out of all the area resorts, but this one is definitely one that's definitely worth staying at if you're really into the electrical pageant parade.
John, are the boats built for comfort or built for speed?
Depends on what you're looking for, Ryan.
Motorboat and son of a bitch.
Which brings us to the health club. There's lots of ways to get exercise at this Grand Floridian. And you want to keep in tip-top shape. And you can do so at the health club there as well. It really has all of those wonderful things. Now, a big thing for us to talk about here, I think it is, you know, for the price point in the room, it's fair to say that it is probably the most expensive deluxe resort. But it's really the Poly and Contemporary aren't that far behind them when you kind of look at the numbers, right?
And the Riviera, too, depending on what you're looking at. Yeah.
Right. So it's really, it's not versus the lower deluxes in price are the Wilderness Lodge and the Animal Kingdom Lodge. But this one is really the creme de la creme. But one of the main things and appeals to that is the dining options. And let's not forget the lounge options, too. We'll talk about them. But there are, you know, five serious sit-down restaurants and more casual restaurants. There is the Ultimate restaurant, which we've talked about before on our Ballin show. And then there's several bars. So you are not at a loss for decisions and choices to have dining on. There's some that I really like there that I've go to repeatedly. And there's some that have gotten recently a refresh and have really recently in the reviews got the attention of some of the foodies around Walt Disney World. Have you guys eaten at any of the restaurants? You want to throw out one that maybe you've tried or?
So unfortunately, I haven't been on the property in a while. I'll say one that I want to try that it's on my bucket list is Victoria and Albert's, which go figure is the most expensive option out of all the options over here. But this is a amazing multiple course dining option we've had. We've gone into depth on it before in previous shows, but this one is amazing. It's got the Michelin star. It's one that you actually have to get really dressed up and really nice and fancy for. You can't just walk in off of the street or off of the park off from the parks. You got to make sure you're nice. But again, this is one, if you want the ultimate dining experience, this is the one you're going to want to do.
Yeah. I mean, this is the one, right? And it's convenient if you're staying there. Why not? Because it is a 3 or 4 hours affair. It's certainly nothing you're going to bring kids to. It's certainly an adult experience. And, you know, it's got one of the best wine selections on property. So, yeah, you have to, as far as kids, 10 years old and up are welcome, but I don't know many 10 years who is going to sit through a 5 or 7 course meal after a long day at Disney World, right?
My 8-year-old would be sitting there pretending like his fork was plane crash into his mashed potatoes. You know what I mean? Like, so, you know, I've got to be honest, at 10, I think he'll probably still be doing it.
So that's there. We've talked about the seafood before at Narcoozie's and the wonderful view off the octagonal shaped wraparound porch, which is right near down the water close to the Magic Kingdom. Great place to watch the Magic Kingdom fireworks show and even go to the bar there and take a drink outside on their deck. Really good. But the one that's really a couple renovations, Citrico's went through a whole renovation and adjustment to their menu, and it's gotten a lot of good reviews. They kind of themed their menu to Mary Poppins, and the decor and everything in a very subtle way. But it's really gotten some great reviews for the food there. And it's healthier, it's lighter, as you'd expect. Salads sort of, you know, Victoria air feel with things like strawberry salads and, you know, smoked duck breast and things that you would think about in those times. But also modern too. They've got, you know, tile fish and mahi-mahi, as well as a couple of decent steaks. And everything's a la carte, though. It does price price it up a little bit, but a really good selection of Madeiras and ports. So if you're looking for something different, check out that menu. It might be just what the doctor ordered. But the cafe has also been redone and gotten a lot of popularity with it. A lot of the food bloggers there are raving about, like, the afternoon lunches and salads and sandwiches.
And one of the beautiful things about the cafe is that it's almost always available right now, right? You can almost always grab a reservation there. I think it was last year we were in Disney World and we took a day to go resort hopping, and we didn't have a lunch reservation. We were just going to grab something quick. And I said, you know what, let's check it out. You know, let's see if it's available. And sure enough, there was like six open time slots for a family of four in the middle of the afternoon. And we jumped in and had a really nice meal in there. We actually were going to bail. And then as soon as we walked outside, one of those famous Florida storms rolled through. And we're like, oh, that's our sign. We're going to eat here. Right. So we went in and ate, and the food was very good. It was definitely a step up from what I remembered it being in the past.
Yeah. And then you have the, you know, they have a casual place, a couple of casual places too. Beaches Pool Bar and Grill makes some, you know, the classic Disney expected regular cocktails. And then the Gasparilla Island Grill, which is very much the most casual of all the restaurants, sort of the breakfast, lunch, dinner place. So you can go, you know, that's slumming it for the Grand Floridian, but it's still good food that you'd expect anywhere. But I want to take a minute to talk about, you know, they've recently done some renovations at three of their bars and updated some menus and really have gotten their act together. And I love what they're doing. I love, you know, Citrico's bar. That's almost always a walk-up bar to get a drink. If we're drinking in circles, you know, you want to hit the Enchanted Rose, of course, but that's one, if you got time to pop into, you can. And it's got some great drinks. And what's interesting from the perspective here is that Disney, to its theme, right, has gone back and looked at sort of Victorian cocktails. People don't think about, you know, the Victorian area was broke for Prohibition, and it was really kind of the golden age of cocktails. If you think about what was happening in the Victorian era, technology was starting, right? You had things like, you know, the telegraph gave way to the telephone, you know, automobiles started to come at the, you know, at the turn of the century. And transportation was getting better. And so bartenders would get ingredients fresher at places like Florida that they weren't getting them. And they got very innovative with twists. And a lot of good classic cocktails were born out of the Victorian era. And so if that's kind of the golden age of mixology, fast forward today to the crazy, you know, upscale premium drinks. A lot of people have talked about the 2000s now is the platinum age of cocktails. So its roots are in that Victorian thing. And they've done some things with these menus, with these drinks, especially the Enchanted Rose. That's the one everyone goes to. And they're just over the top, reflective of what you'd expect. Not inexpensive, but just, you know, wonderful things that you'd expect. You know, when you're doing a gin drink with Saint Germain elderflower liqueur in it and Campari and fresh lemon, that's very different. When you're doing, you know, drinks with fresh lavender in them, or Grand Marnier was a big thing that, you know, and Remy Martin was a big thing that was there. The old fashioned was developed in the Victorian era, and they're doing some really fantastic upscale cocktails at these bars with that. Of course, the Enchanted Rose is themed to Beauty and the Beast. What it's doing there thematically, I don't know, but the Victorian cocktails are spot on. And so I'm pretty proud of Disney for kind of tying in the history of, you know, Victorian era cocktails and the modern cocktails and really bringing it to life at these two bars.
Did you hear that, Disney? Daddy Drinks is proud of you.
Ryan continues on the benefits of being at the Grand Floridian.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of lounges, there's a lot of benefits to being at the Grand Floridian, and that's that they're everywhere. there's a lot. I mean, you know, Carl, you touched on the Enchanted Rose, but that's become one that's become extremely popular, and it's inspired by Beauty and the Beast, which great job for with Disney to capitalize on such a popular movie and IP within the resort. Because what I really like about what they did with Enchanted Rose here was, much like the Grand Floridian itself, it's just very subtly themed, right? It's not over the top. It's not punching in your face, but it's enough to go in and have a drink and be at this beautiful bar and lounge with an awesome menu of drinks, great appetizers, and have that fairy tale feeling to it, you know? So Beauty and the Beast is wildly popular for a reason, and to have a Beauty and the Beast themed bar, it just makes me feel like they should do more themed bars all over Disney World, right? I think every resort should have a themed bar. That would be amazing. But yeah, so, you know, talking about lounges and bars, Enchanted Rose is definitely one that you can't miss. The pool bars are both fantastic here as well. Super easy. We've touched on the pool bars in a previous episode, so we don't have to go too far.
Yeah, I do want to give a shout out to the Courtyard Pool Bar, though. That's one at the big place. And it used to be, and I think you can, even if we're not, you know, a hotel guest there, that you could work your way poolside to have a drink or have a lunch. There's a full menu there for what you'd expect to order poolside. But what I love about it, too, is I think it's one of the only resorts with ping pong tables at it in the shade. So you can have a drink and get a game of ping pong going while the kids are splashing around the pool, or if they're not splashing around the pool. And ping pong to me was the original, you know, before you had cornhole. That was all the things that were at the bar. You could get a game of ping pong or pool going. And it's nice that they have that there.
Here in Chicago, we call cornhole bags. Up in Wisconsin, they call it bags. Don't ask. It's a weird thing. Wisconsinites call bags bags, and they call bagels bagels. I really don't understand them. But anyway, so.
But by the way, they have that, too, and they also have a bocce court, too. So
yeah, there's one of two bocce courts. The other bocce court's over at Riviera. But I was going to let you know there are actually more ping pong tables now around. The problem with the ping pong tables at the other resorts is that you can rarely find a ball that actually bounces versus somewhere like the Grand Floridian, where they make sure that it's kept up, you know, because you can go over to Coronado by the pool and play ping pong there, or you can go to Pop Century and play ping pong there, but they don't have balls that bounce properly.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So you have to bring your balls with you when you play.
Always.
All right.
Never leave home without them.
Okay. Note to self. Yeah, we love the pool bars, right? Like you said, we've talked about them, but there's just so many choices there that you could, you know, there's Narcosis, depending on the time of day, you could really do a 5-bar crawl right within the Grand Floridian Resort, which I don't think there's anyone else with 5 individual bars at them. Granted, 2 are part of restaurants, but yeah, I mean, love the scene, and we should make sure we check it out next time we're there. And so
these lounges and bars are what's going to make me feel less nervous about being there.
Yes, absolutely. And Disney does have that way of opening up their arms, embracing, and saying, welcome. John, what are your fond memories when you were a young lad there with your folks at that hotel? Do you have anything that stands out in your mind as a memory of the Grand Floridian?
So the biggest thing for me, I mean, I'll say it was the pool. Again, I was very young at that point. I can't remember what age I was, but I was very young. All I remember out of that whole trip was really literally spending most of my time relaxing in that pool, enjoying that main pool very, very much, to the point to where we had checked out. We were waiting for our ride back to the airport, and we were sneaking in one more swim in that pool. That's my most fondest memory of that resort. Now, at the same point too, we went very close to the holidays, so I remember getting that what do you call that? That silhouette done in a caricature as well, in the lobby there. Those I know my parents still have hanging around somewhere in the house. I'm 100% confident they're somewhere hung up somewhere, but those definitely are memories that are core memories that I remember from Disney, and I remember a lot of that coming from Grand Floridian.
So you bring up a good point to talk about, since you brought that physical memory of the Grand Floridian. We're not big, you know, shopping guys, but there are, as I mentioned, an exorbitant amount of shops there. There is a specialty chocolatier on one of those levels that's making things. They do gorgeous carvings of, usually on display, and they're making fresh chocolates, very much like Main Street. And it's the Victorian feel and the Victorian cast member costumes, very, very much that Main Street feel. As a matter of fact, you know, some people have argued that the Grand Floridian is an extension of the train station in Main Street, Contemporary is an extension of Tomorrowland. But they do have that. They have there's a store with DVC stuff in it, because DVC is, you know, got some units there. There's a store with everything you can imagine for plush and Disney characters. And since the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique is there, they've got all the clothes and costumes for kids to buy. But there's actually a adult store that is there for clothing, the clothiers, and it's got really high-end clothing if you need it while there. Lines from Vera Bradley, Tommy Bahama, and Vineyard Vines. So things you'd expect to be in that kind of country club there. You know, it's got all of that, and that that ambience of people buying things. You mean there's a florist there that you can deliver flowers to the room, which is something that used to be very common. It's not in every property anymore. So all of those amenities really give it that feel. And I think it's all there because it's designed for that wedding clientele that you mentioned too, Ryan, right? Mm-hmm. The original wedding pavilion is there. People are getting married there. There's a small convention center there that you're doing small, intimate, you know, conventions with a couple hundred people, not thousands. And it's really kind of a different clientele feel, but makes for a very relaxing time on your vacation.
I enjoy the shops in there. It is one of the places that when we do resort hop, and one of my favorite pastimes has always been resort hopping on my off day, just checking things out and whatever. But I've always enjoyed walking in shops. I can rarely ever afford anything in there, but yeah, going in and to the adult, there's been a few times I've been tempted to walk away with a shirt from there. Or, you know, they had the bath and the almost like the Bath and Body Works type place that's in there.
The spa shop,
which is, I'm pretty sure I've walked away with a few things for my wife from in there before too.
I know we've got some of those soaps sitting in our bathroom right now that we've had for quite a while, but they're not horrible. I mean, I wouldn't buy them right off the bat, honestly, but
I just love the fact that you bought soaps that were so expensive you don't even want to use them. I get it, right? Like you bought it for the special occasions, right? I'm only going to rub under my arms for this day, you know, but
Awesome. So what have we forgot about Disney's Grand Floridian Resort and Spa?
You know, the one thing I'll talk about is that the rooms inside of the main building and the DVC rooms are very different from the outer building rooms. And they are going through some refurbishments right now to kind of update some of that stuff. But the rooms in the main building go fast. And there's a good reason for it. I mean, these are the rooms that you could be sitting on the toilet and you can turn on a TV in the background of the mirror above the sink, right? Like that's, you know, or I guess if you're not a degenerate, maybe you're in the shower trying to do that instead of on the toilet, but whatever, right? So the outer building rooms are kind of that older classic kind of vibe to it, whereas the rooms inside the main building and the rooms that are the DVC rooms are kind of the more current, contemporary kind of elegance. So two very different stays that you could have. So make sure that if you are planning a trip, you're working with a travel planner like us that knows the differences between the two, if you have a preference of one over the other.
I mean, if you want a fireworks view every night from your balcony, that's the place to stay.
See, I would go contemporary there, but we all know that I just have a love for contemporary.
Right.
So I'm biased.
Yeah. No, I mean, it is. It's just the other thing about this hotel, and several of the hotels have this, it's a Floridian theme hotel and you're in Florida. It belongs. It feels right. It feels like part of an extension of that vacation, right? So if you want to immerse yourself in that real Disney feel, that's certainly a place that there's no doubt in your mind you're in Florida when you're staying at that hotel, right? It's the classic, you know, like the Polynesian, like the contemporary, but it's got that that elegance and charm. So, we would certainly love to help you plan your next vacation at Disney's Grand Floridian Resort. I have lots of fond memories of the resort. Jonathan does too, but mainly of the pool.
Hey, it's important when you're a kid. That pool is prime importance, my friend.
It is.
And priorities may have changed a little bit by this point, 35, but pool's important.
Absolutely. So on your next trip, maybe we can fit you in pinkies up at the Grand Floridian Resort and Spa. Later, Sir Dudes.
Later, dudes.
Later, dudes.
Thanks for joining us for this week's episode of Dudes Dish Disney. Please check us out on social media. On Facebook at Dudes Dish Disney. On Instagram at Dudes Dish Disney. On Twitter at Disney_Dish. Please visit our sponsor, Magic Vacations, at magicvacations.net. More than just a travel agency, Magic Vacations has over 60 Magic Vacation planners committed to bringing you white glove concierge service. Using a Magic Vacation planner allows you to spend more time making memories and less time worrying about the details. For all of your Disney, Universal, cruise, and global travel, go to magicvacations.net. Magic Vacations. Discover the magic of travel.